are. Say it once it starts. Okay, we are up to Shmuel Aleph Perek Yud Beis, chapter 12. Do you want to share? This one has English, so if you want to share that, it's fine. Otherwise, why don't you use
the
Here, no, I'll just. Yeah, I think you're best off sharing that one. So. Yeah, Perek Yud Beis, we're at the beginning of the Perek. Okay. So, just to catch us up for those who are not familiar with what's been going on. So, the Jewish people are led by Shmuel HaNavi. Samuel, he is the prophet, the Navi, as well as the Shofet, the judge of the people, the leader, and the people have asked for a king. And while this was originally frowned upon consulting with Hashem, Shmuel is told that they can have a king. Then we have the entire episode with Shaul ending up in front of Shmuel, and Shaul is anointed first in private by Shmuel there as king, first king of Israel. Then there has to be a more public anointing. Shaul actually experiences prophecy, and he gets anointed in public. But not everyone accepts him as the king, and there are those who say, "Oh, who is this guy?" You know, and they are mevaza him, they disgrace him. So he goes back home. He doesn't really take up the mantle of leadership yet, it seems. And then the people get attacked, that's what we talked about last week, by Ammon, by Nahash HaAmoni. That was the leader of Ammon at the time. He attacks the Jewish people, and he actually attacks a specific area, Yabesh Gilad. Talked about why there. And they send for Shaul to rescue them. And indeed, Shaul rallies the troops. He rallies the people of Israel. They unite under Shaul, and they come and go to war against Nahash HaAmoni, and they completely defeat him. They scatter his forces, and now, you know, Shaul has led the people to victory. Now they're ready to accept Shaul as the king, and that's what happened at the end of the last chapter. If you look at the end of chapter 11, the end of chapter Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 14, it says, "Vayomer Shmuel al Ha'am, v'chu v'nelcha ha-Gilgal, let's go to Gilgal, u'nechade sham ha-melucha, and we will renew the kingship once again." So even though there's already been a public anointing, it wasn't fully accepted. Now that everyone stands behind Shaul, now that he's proving himself as, you know, a leader, so now everyone, let's go back and do this one more time. And that's what they did. Vayelchu kol ha'am ha-Gilgal, and the nation went to Gilgal. Vayamlichu sham es Shaul, v'fnei Hashem ba-Gilgal, and they anointed Shaul before Hashem in Gilgal. Vayizbuchu sham zevachim, shlamim v'fnei Hashem, and they brought karbanos before Hashem. Vayismach sham Shaul v'chol anshei Yisrael ad me'od, and Shaul and all the people of Israel rejoiced in this great event. Yeah.
I think you had said initially that Hashem was opposed to having a king.
So, yes.
I thought it was the Jewish ideal to have kingship.
Okay, so very good question, and this is the question that the Mepharshim really struggle with.
Isn't it kind of a double-edged sword?
What do you mean?
Because God said that in the first part of Shmuel that you shouldn't have a king, you should just rely on him. But in the Torah it says that, like,
yeah,
it gives, like,
the question that the Mepharshim deal with is, when they ask for a king, so let's just turn back to where that happens, just to be able to read the Sukkim. So, in Perek Chet, chapter 8, that's where they first ask. And it's going to be relevant to this Perek also, so we can look back there. So in Pasuk Hey of Perek Chet, chapter 8, verse 5, it says, "Vayomru Elav," and the people said to Shaul, Hinei Atav Zakanta, you are elderly, Shmuel, sorry, they said to Shmuel, Uvanecha Lohoku B'drachecha, and your children aren't going in your ways. Parakhes Pasuk Hei. Ata, now, Shima Lanu Melech L'Shaftenu Kefal HaGoyim. Now, give us a king to judge us like all of the nations. Vayera Hadavar B'Enei Shmuel, and this was very bad in the eyes of Shmuel, Kasher Amru, when they said, Tina Lanu Melech L'Shaftenu, give us a king to judge us, Vayisal Shmuel HaShem, and Shmuel Davin to HaShem to find out what to do. Vayomer HaShem Shmuel, Hashem said to Shmuel, Shema b'kol ha'am, listen to the nation, l'cho asher yomer le'lecha, all that they say to you, yilo oshama asu, because they didn't disgrace you, they didn't discuss you, yoshima asu, because it's me that they've rejected, nimloch aleihem, from ruling over them. So, you see, it was evil in the eyes of Shmuel. Hashem says, listen to them, but Hashem also says, they, you know, that it wasn't you that they disgraced, they disgraced me. So clearly they did something wrong. And right, so all the Mefarshim want to know, what did they do wrong? Doesn't it say in the Torah, and it will be when you come to land, Tom Tosimo Echamel, you should appoint the king. And in fact, the Gemara says it's a mitzvah to appoint the king. So there's different approaches in the Mefarshim that we discussed. Some say the way that they said it, they said, give us a king who is Shafdeinu Kichol Hagoyim, to judge us like all the other nations. They wanted to be like the other nations. It wasn't that they wanted to do it for the mitzvah, they wanted to do it like the other nations. What that could even mean, they wanted to reject Torah. They wanted to be judged not through the Torah, the lens of Torah, but like all the other nations, make their own laws. It could be that it was, you know, Shmuel was insulted perhaps because they said to judge us. You know, he would understand if they said we want a king to lead us in battle, but to judge you, you know, I'm here, what's wrong with me? Right?
He was getting older.
He was getting older, right? So his sons weren't following his ways, right? So these are the ideas that we struggled with. But these are some of the ideas that come up. So, and it's important because it's going to come up again now. Shmuel is going to say, okay, here's your king, but now I'm going to rebuke you once again for asking for it. So that's how our parash begins. Vayomer Shmuel, Pasuk Aleph of Parash Yud Beis. Vayomer Shmuel al kol Yisrael. And Shmuel said to all of Israel, Nei shamati v'kolchem. Behold, I have listened to your voice. L'cho asher amartem li. Everything that you told me, I've listened to. Va'amri chaleicha melech. And I've appointed a king over you. Rashi points out, interestingly, and by Rashi, I don't mean Rashi, I mean the Mitzvah Shavit. The Mitzvah Shavit says over here that up till now he's about to rebuke them for asking for a king again. Up till now he couldn't really rebuke them because they might think that he's trying to stop them from having a king. And, you know, Hashem has already permitted it. It's a mitzvah, you can say, right? He shouldn't be stopping them. So, he says, okay, now you have the king, but now I'm going to tell you what's wrong with that you asked for it or how you asked for it. So he waits till now. And he says, Ve'ata, and now, Hinei ha-melech mishaleh l'ifneichem. Behold, the king is walking before you. He's right here. You have a king. Vani zakanti vasavti. And I have grown old. Those are two expressions of growing old. Vanai hinam itchem. And behold, my sons are with you. Vani hisalachti v'tnechem minurai ad hayom hazeh. And I have walked before you from when I was a lad until this day. So, he mentions a few things in this pasuk. First of all, he says, I am old. So what's he trying to tell them? First of all, he's saying, you know, he's trying to show how much he served them. He's not actually so old. Shmuel is only 50 at this time. And, you know, the guy at 50 is not really ready to retire. So what does he mean he's old? So he was telling them that, you know, I've worked so hard my whole life, and I've grown old early. You know, old age has settled upon me early. That's how the Malbim says it, and that would be a more shot approach. There is a Chazal that says that to Gemara that it was miraculous that Kafsa Olav Zikna, that he started to look old at a young age, and that was, the Gemara says, in order that people wouldn't, he's going to die in 2 years. Shmuel dies at 52. So Hashem didn't want people to say that he died young because he did something wrong, that he was being punished for it, and there's different ideas of why he died young, I think there's an idea that he gave years to David HaMelech, I think, or it could be just that he had completed his mission. But Hashem didn't want people to think that he died young as a punishment, so he made Shmuel look old already now, so that people would think that he was old, when in fact he wasn't so old. He was only about 50. The Gemara actually says that he died young in order to not see Shaul die. Because Shaul is his first appointed king. Shaul is not going to last very long as king, I think 2.5 years. He's going to have a lot of issues. He's going to die. But this was sort of like, Shmuel Hanavi's protege. This is his, this is his man. And in order to not see Shaul die in his lifetime, so he davens to Hashem to take him early. But again, Hashem didn't want people to think that Shmuel was being taken early for his own, because he deserved to die for some reason, and therefore he made him look old, so people would think that he was actually old. Now,
I could tell him this, the current science thing, that how old you look physically is based on your telomeres. As you get older, you shrink. They shrink, and that's sort of what pushes the aging process. And so it's also connected in with, what shape you keep yourself in. You exercise here, and
Shmuel exercised a lot.
I'm saying now that. I'm not explaining it by sight. There are some people, that are like they're young. They look old.
So he also says, he says, I've listened to your voice, to everything you've said, I've given you a king. Then you're right, in the classic phase, he says, the king is here, he's walking before you, I'm old, my sons are with you. He's telling them, even though I have sons, now we already know that they weren't the greatest, but he's saying, we're masking. We agree that we're not trying to hold power. They're with you in terms of appointing a king. There's no coup going on here. Even though we're the leading family, but we've accepted this idea as having a king. And I've always been about serving you. From when I was young, so you all know me. I'm not trying to deceive you, and now let's have an honest talk, okay? Let's have an honest talk. So he said, "Pasukim, hineni anu vi neged Hashem. Behold, answer me before Hashem. I want to hear from you. Neged Meshicho. Hashem is listening in. His anointed one is listening in. Shaul HaMelech." Esther, me, Lacastri, did I take any ox from you all these years? Vachamor, me, Lacastri, did I take a donkey? Vesni, a sacchi, did I withhold money from anyone? Payment? Esni, ratosi, did I either extort money, Rashi learns here, or did I ask for favors from anyone? Umiad nila kasi chofer, did I accept money as a chofer is like when you redeem yourself through money. If somebody deserves something, did I accept, to be paid off instead of giving them the proper punishment? The alim einai bo, and turn my eyes away from him. The ashivu lachem, and then I'll respond to you. So he's saying, did I do any of this? Did I take a single ox from you to, let's say, work my field? Did I take a single donkey from you to travel around, even though, that may be a normal thing for a judge to do, a judge who's traveling from city to city. So he's doing it for the people. He should be able to, they should fund it, right? They should pay for it. But he says, no. Did I even take that? Did I even take transportation expenses from you all these years that I've been traveling around? And did I, as we said, did I withhold payment from you? Did I accept favors from anyone? Did I accept paid off? The alim einai bo, and turn my eyes away from him. The ashiv lachem, and I'll accept. Then I'll respond to you. Another way to learn the word the alim einai bo. Interesting idea. The Radak quotes from his father. The Radak says that his father learned that the pshat in this is, I'll turn my eyes away from you if you're going to respond. In other words, you might be embarrassed, to accuse me. Yeah, I'm saying, and we'll come back to this idea soon, but, he's standing in front of people. He's saying, okay, does anybody have can anybody challenge? Is anybody going to accuse me of doing anything wrong? So, the guy might be embarrassed, in front of everyone to get on Shmuel's bad side, Shmuel on Avi, Shmuel's a tzaddik, right? Imagine not just the rabbi, but a great gadol gets up and says, did I do anything wrong? The Rosh Yeshiva, right? Did I do anything wrong to any of you? So who's gonna stand up and say something? So he says, I'll turn my eyes away from you. I'm not gonna look at who responds. So you don't have to be embarrassed, at least not from me. That's how the Radak learned from his father. Other Mepharshim learned, as I mentioned before, that it's connected to did I accept payments from anyone, did I accept to be paid off, and then turn my eyes away from them at that time to not follow through on what they deserve. Vayomeru, and they said, Lo ashaktanu, the lo ratosanu. No, you didn't withhold payment from anyone. You didn't accept favors from anyone. The lo lakachtam yad ish me'uma, and you didn't accept anything from anyone. We totally agree. You were so clean as the judge of the people, and you never accepted anything. And he said to them, Aid Hashem Bachem. Hashem should be an aid, Hashem should be a witness to your words, to what you're saying. The aid Meshicho Hayom Hazeh, and also his anointed one, Shaul HaMelech, Shaul the king, should also witness this. Hilo Mitzasim B'yadi Me'uma, because that they should be a witness to this idea that you haven't found on me any claims, you don't have any claims against me. Vayomer Aid. And he said, Aid. Witness. I'm a witness to this. So who said Aid? Right? So he says, Hashem should be an aid to this, and his anointed one should be a witness to this, that you didn't find anything wrong. Vayomer Aid, and he said Aid. He said, I witnessed it. So who said that? So the problem is it's singular. So there is some learn that it means the people, and that it is Kol Yisrael Ke'echad, right? That everybody said it together, and that's why it's singular. Others learn that it's referring to Shaul. Shaul said Aid. But the last approach it's a Chazal. It's a Gemara. The Gemara says that it was a Baskel, it was a heavenly voice. It came out. Hashem said, "Aid, I'm a witness to this." The Gemara in Makos, the Gemara says that there are three places where Ruach HaKodesh got involved in the Beis Din Shalmata, in a human court. This is sort of like a court case, right? They're bearing witness. And this is one of them, that Hashem bared witness to what Shmuel was claiming, or really to what the people were agreeing to, that Shmuel HaNavi didn't take anything from them. And he said, and Hashem said, aid. Now the question would be, why does Shmuel need all of this? The people said, well, Ashakshanu. Yeah.
What comes to mind is that it is a concept that a judge can be responsible for bad decisions. So this is, he's about to retire. He wants to cut off, and apparently there's no limitation when someone can come back and say, hey, you messed things up, you did something wrong 10 years ago. Maybe his retirement, cut it off now.
So I don't know if that will work for a mistaken judgment. He hasn't really referred to any, he didn't say, like, I didn't, you know, you guys all agree that I never messed up in my judgment. He said, he's talking about things that he would have done purposefully, that are a little bit, you know, either forbidding, complete outright, take money for situations, or even they're permitted, but like he was beyond the letter of the law. He, you know, Shmuel HaNavi went all out, never took anything. The Gemara says he traveled with his own. We learned, you know, way back that it says he traveled with his own house, like his own. He brought everything with him. He wouldn't take anything. So that's what he wants them to testify, that he's totally clean. He was always for the people. That's what he wants testimony on. That's what it seems. So, and I don't know if you could, you know, close off if there was a mistaken judgment. Say, okay, you know, that's it. Too bad you agreed. First of all, there's always two sides, right? Okay. So,
but they're all there. All
right.
Israel is there.
Right, but I don't know if anyone. Right, I don't know if that would be necessary to do. So, so this is the question that Talmud of the Farshim asked, is why is it necessary to have, you know, like a witness? The people said, by Yom Rav, oh, Ashakshanu, Lo Rashashanu. They said, you didn't take anything from us. You didn't withhold anything. You didn't take anything from us. So, why does he insist on Hashem bearing witness to this? What was meant to accomplish?
He was saying that's more like an English concept, statute of limitations.
Right.
Not really a Torah.
No, he's saying since there is no statute of limitations, so maybe they would need to do this to, like, create a statute, you know, to close the case.
Right, but there is, according to Torah,
right,
there is no statute of limitations. That's the English concept. Well, that's why he has to go through this thing. I mean, if he took something wrong from somebody, that would also fall upon him. Yeah. He's not maybe getting out of the mistakes in judgment, but maybe, you know, but closing off because anyone said he or, you know, took a kofar, something he should have done.
Yeah. So the Mefarshim have two ideas. The Malbim discusses that there were certain things that the people just wouldn't be able to know about. For example, he says, or his main, what he talks about is that the shofet was in charge of the public coffer, the kupat hatzibur, used, you know, for taxes and different things. So he had access to the, you know, to the treasury of the people. So they would not know if he had taken from that. And not only that, but he was allowed to take from there for, you know, a salary, something, right? He was permitted to take from there, but he still didn't. So the Malbim learned he was saying that Hashem should bear witness to this. I want a Baskel to come out and bear witness to this, that I haven't even taken something that you wouldn't, that nobody would be aware of. That's how the Malbim learns. The eighth Yosef has a different idea, and this comes back to what we just spoke about in the last pasuk, which is that it could be that the people just said, oh, we didn't take anything, because they were embarrassed to say anything, right? You're standing in front of the whole community, and you're going to call Shmuel out for taking something from you. It would take serious guts and chutzpah to do that, right? Especially if it was a minor infringement or something that was permitted even, right? So you're going to get up and embarrass Shmuel in front of the entire congregation. That, you know, a person might not do. So each person, even though they themselves know that, you know, Shmuel didn't take anything from them, but they might be thinking, well, he probably did take something from my friend, you know, from the other guy, and the reason why he's not saying anything is because he's too embarrassed. So nobody, even though everybody went up and said in unison, no, you didn't take anything from us, but did they really believe that? No, because they thought that each person thought that everyone else was saying it just because they were embarrassed to say what that someone actually taken something. So that's why it was necessary to actually have a heavenly voice come and also give testimony that indeed what everyone was saying was true. Hashem bared witness to, and this works better, I think, in the Sukkim, in the simple reading of the pasuk. The Malbim sort of introduces a new idea about public, you know, public coffers and taxes, and but this fits right in. And he says, did I take anything from you? The people saying no. He says, Hashem is going to witness that you all said, no, I didn't take anything, and that indeed, it's true. And you're not just saying that out of embarrassment. So now Heavenly Voice comes out, and Heavenly Voice says, aid, I testify to the truth of this statement.
According to the opinion that holds that Raymer aid is Shaul, how does that help? Because I thought you needed two witnesses to prove something. Even if Shaul said, I'm witness, it doesn't really prove anything. There would need to be a second.
Good question.
So what was his question?
The question was, don't you normally need two witnesses? If let's say you learn that it was Vayomer 8, singular, it was just Shaul, so where do you have your two witnesses? So I think in the simple reading, maybe it fits very nicely that he's saying Hashem is an aid and Shaul is an aid. Now, it's true, you know, Vayomer 8, they only got to hear Shaul, but this whole thing is sort of like conceptual, right? It's not like a real court case right here. So he's saying, Hashem is bearing witness and Shaul is bearing witness. I have my two witnesses here, and they, to the truth of, to the veracity of what I'm claiming. Now, there is an idea that, now that you mention that, that I saw brought down from the Brisker Rav. Just for 1 second. They bring it in this novel, where he does talk about the need for Aiden here, for witnesses. So the Brisker Rav, so he says that Chazal say about this time period that the judges of this time were not necessarily, you know, not talking about Shmuel, but they weren't necessarily so upstanding, you know, throughout this period of history. The Gemara says in Bava Basra, it's really talking about the beginning of Sefer Shoftim, where it says, "Vayhi b'yimei shvot ha-shoftim," and it was in the days of the judging of the judges. So simple reading of that pasuk means, you know, that the judges were judging. But the Gemara says, you can read this pasuk to mean that we're judging the judges. Why are we judging the judges? He said, so the Gemara says there was a time period where a judge would say to someone, remove the toothpick, the twig, from between your teeth. And that would be a muscle to, like, you know, you have a minor issue that you need to fix, right? And the response from that person to the judge, says the Gemara, would be, remove the beam that's between your eyes. Like, you think I have an issue that I have a toothpick in my teeth. You have a whole beam between your eyes. Meaning that the people were judging the show sim, that the judges themselves were, had much more serious, faults or lacking, than the people. That's Shvota Shoftim, the days that they were judging the judges. So when Shmuel comes along, and he's about to rebuke the people, as we're going to see, so he first wants to know, is anybody judging me? You know, does anybody include me in that category of, having a beam between his eyes, or even a toothpick in his teeth? You know, and does anybody find any fault in me? That's the first question. And he says that the people respond, no, there's no issue. And this is what he calls Hodas Baldin. This is where the person who, in the court case, is admitting. So the people are admitting, they're agreeing to the claim. There's a Hodas Baldin. There's an admission. So he says the prescriber, oh, but that's not enough. Even though they admit, even though they agree, that's not enough. Because the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that if Edim come, if witnesses come and say that you admitted that you owe, if a person, let's say, so Reuven, outside of court, admits to Shimon, I owe you $200, okay? And two witnesses hear that. So can they come to court now and say, Reuven owes Shimon $200, and we can prove it, because we heard him tell him, we heard him admit it, so he owes him. So the Gemara says that's not a good testimony, because he doesn't owe the money, even though they heard him say that he does. Because he could say, I was just kidding. I was joking around. I wasn't being serious. You walked in the middle of I was telling a joke, I was just kidding. So, unless, says the Gemara, if he tells them, if when Reuven is admitting to Shimon, he says, you guys, you witnesses, bear witness, Atem Edai, you're my witnesses, and I'm now going to admit that I owe him money, so then it means he's serious about this, and then indeed the witnesses can come and say that he said Atem Edai, he appointed us as witnesses, and then he admitted to owing the money. So he says a similar concept over here. And that's why Shmuel said, I need two Edim. I need Hashem and I need Shaul to bear witness to this. Because although you guys are admitting to this idea that I never took anything from you and that I don't owe you anything, but you can still claim, if there's no witnesses, and we haven't appointed witnesses, so you can claim, Meshata Anibacha, I was just joking, or really, based on what we said in B.A. Joseph, you can say, I was embarrassed. So he says, that's why we need witnesses here, because an admission is only good if you appoint witnesses. So that's why there, and he learns, like what you were bringing up, that you needed two Edim, two witnesses here. So the Briskerov takes like a more technical, Talmudic approach to this, that there's a very careful, halachic chesed calculation here of why he needed two witnesses, because even though they were admitting to it, that's not good enough, because they could later claim, we didn't really mean it, we were just joking. And as in this context, it wouldn't really fit to say we were just joking, but like we said before, maybe they would claim that we were just embarrassed or some other reason why they admitted it. So now, everything is clear, everybody, it's very clear, there's two Edim, or there's a Basco, or there's a heavenly voice, whatever it is, it's very clear that they are totally on board and totally agree that Shmuel is, never took anything from them. Okay, now that's out of the way, so now he feels comfortable beginning to rebuke them. Vayomer Shmuel Elha, and Shmuel said to Moshe, Hashem, Asher Asa es Moshe ves Aharon, Hashem, who made Moshe and Aharon, Vasher Hela es Avodzeichem me Eretz Mitzrayim. Hashem, who made Moshe, I don't want to talk about that in a second, and who brought you up, brought your fathers up from the land of Mitzrayim. So he's now going to go on and he's going to talk about other things that Hashem did for them. So why is he now, you know, bringing this in? So it could be that he's just sort of confirming that testimony that just happened, right? Because Hashem said, aid? Hashem said, I testifying, and it's more saying, you know who just testified to this? This is Hashem who brought you out of Mitzrayim. This is, you know, who you have this relationship with, and, you know, who's done so much. This is the Hashem that's testifying to it. Or he's actually already rebuking them and saying, as we mentioned, as we read earlier, they rejected Hashem. They rejected Hashem's ways. They wanted a king. Again, they have to identify what exactly they did wrong, but there was some rejection of Torah and the ways of Hashem, and so he's now reminding them all that Hashem has done for them, and he's going to go into further detail about that. Now, Shmuel HaNavi says, Hashem asher asa es Moshe ves Aaron. Hashem who made Moshe and Aaron. So what does that mean? Interesting terminology. So we really find this terminology way back by Avraham Avinu. It says, the beginning of Parashat Lech Lecha, that Avraham went, that he took his family, and the people that they made in Haran. So Rashi there explains that what does it mean they made the people? It's the people that they were makariv, the people that they brought close to believing Hashem, and they, you know, it's because if you teach someone Torah, it's as if you give birth to them, and that they he helped make these people into what they were. So that's the same kind of expression over here, that Hashem made Moshe and Aaron into what they were. The Ran actually discusses in a drasha, it's more about Moshe than about Aaron, but that the level that Moshe reached cannot be attained by a person without divine intervention. Meaning, he says, a person could become a prophet, you know, through natural ways. You know, it's Barim talk about it. If a person really works on themselves and perfects themselves, then it is possible to achieve the level of Ruach HaKodesh, prophecy. Hashem doesn't have to make someone into a prophet. A person can make themselves into a prophet. However, the Torah testifies that Lokam Navi the Israel to Moshe, or however it goes. But there would be no Navi like Moshe ever again, right? How could the Torah testify to that? Maybe somebody could work on himself and reach the level of Moshe. The Ram says, because Moshe Rabbeinu was not, did not reach the, attain the level that he did on his own. It's a level that only Hashem, with divine intervention, could a person reach. And so that's how the Torah could testify that nobody's going to have that, to reach that level again. Because that's in Hashem's hand. So that's a further understanding of what this means. It's Hashem who made Moshe and Aaron. It's more about Moshe than about Aaron, but that really Hashem made him into what he was. Now, there's a very interesting idea that the Mishpat Sozav mentions about this pasuk, and it's based on an Ariza. So we know, Mr. Gedalowicz, that Shmuel HaNavi was a descendant of Korah. Shmuel HaNavi was a descendant of Korah. It's clear from Divrei HaYamim when it talks about the lineage. Korah, of course, is the one who rebelled against Moshe and Aaron and challenged Moshe and Aaron's right to the leadership. Right? He said, Hashem didn't appoint you. You guys appointed yourselves. So the Arizal says that Shmuel HaNavi was mistaken, fixed the Avera of his ancestor Korah. Now, he doesn't refer to this pasuk. He actually refers to a pasuk in Parshas Balak. The pasuk says, Bilam, in one of his brachos about Klal Yisrael. So he says, Oy mi yichya mi samo pel. Who will live from what Hashem has done? And you have to look up the exact context of the pasuk, but Bilam is saying something about, you know, who can withstand the power of Hashem. But the Arizal says that there's a remez, there's a hint in this pasuk. The words samo and aleph lamed are also, which there mean like the placement or the, you know, the hand of Hashem, but they're also the letters of Shemuel. So the Arizal says that Bilam was saying, who can live from Shemuel? And what did he mean by that? He
means
taking some liberties, but he basically says that Bilam was very upset because he saw that Korach would have a descendant, Shmuel, who was going to be mistaking, who was going to fix, you know, Korach's mistake. But that Bilam would not have that. Bilam would not have any descendants that could fix his averos. And so Bilam expresses this. He says, we would read it like, oh, who will live? And he references Shmuel, that Shmuel will be a tikkun, fix the avera of Korach, but I won't have anyone to fix my avera. So the Mishnah Sozav tells us, he's a contemporary, he wants to tie in this pasuk to that idea. And he says that right here we have Shmuel being misaken, Shmuel fixing the avera of Korach. Because Shmuel is testifying over here that Hashem asher asa es Moshe ves Aaron. It's Hashem who made Moshe and Aaron. That Moshe and Aaron were appointed and placed where they were by Hashem. It's exactly that which Korach challenged, and Shmuel, his descendant, comes and fixes that avera. He goes on to say that the next says, and Hashem who brought them up from Mitzrayim. And that was fixing Korach's partners in crime were Dathan and Aviram, and they challenged Moshe, like, why did you take us, why did you bring us out of Egypt? You know, you did this just so we can die in the desert. And Shmuel Navi is saying, it's Hashem that brought us up. So he's also being misaking what Korach's partners, Dathan and Aviram, accused Moshe of. And he's saying, no, it was Hashem, and it was a plan, and it was intended for them to come out of Mitzrayim. And just interestingly, this parsha, this parak that we're learning now, is the Haftorah for Parshas Korach. And there's different reasons for that. I don't think this is the primary reason, but it's a nice other thing to fill in that here we have in this pasuk the tikkun, the reparation of what Korach had done by his descendant Shmuel.
So Korach wasn't accused of taking anybody's donkey or taking any kofar.
No, I'm just talking about this statement right here of Hashem asher asa es Moshe ves Aaron. That Shmuel is opposing the accusation of Korach that Moshe and Aaron had appointed themselves, and Shmuel here is testifying that no, that Hashem is the one who appointed Moshe and Aaron. Okay. So I guess next time we'll start to learn about what the rebuke was, or will be.
What time period was this? This is...